Welcome back to From the Press Box, the Holland Sentinel Sports Staff's weekly podcast, where we talk anything and everything sports. Happy New Year and welcome back after a couple of weeks off for the holidays with not much locally going on. We're back for our podcast, our weekly podcast in 2022. I'm sports editor Dan Diodano, along with our assistant sports editor, Will Kennedy. And we, not a lot of local stuff happened over the break, but a little bit did. But obviously, the big story of the break was, you know, the college football playoff and all the big time bowl games and everything that happened around New Year's. So, Will, I mean, as our resident college football expert, I mean, let's start with the semifinals, Alabama beating Cincinnati and Georgia beating Michigan. Did those happen the way you expected? And I mean, how did you feel about just the way those semifinals went down?
I think Alabama-Cincinnati was relatively what I expected. I knew Cincinnati's offense wasn't going to be able to match up with Alabama's insane defense. And Cincinnati's defense made Alabama struggle quite a bit. They held it close until really the end of the third quarter, early fourth quarter. So I was like, I was proud of my group of five representation there. It really validated that, you know, group of five team could be in the playoff and deserves to be in the playoff, especially considering what happened a few hours later to the Big Ten champion, second-ranked team in the country. They got absolutely dominated from the jump, and Cincinnati had a much better showing than them. So that really validates the whole group of five deserve a spot in the playoff kind of argument to me. However, the second semifinal, the Orange Bowl, that game did not really go as I anticipated. I thought Georgia would win by maybe like 10 points or so. I thought it would be a close game. But it was not close at all. I mean, it was 27-3 at halftime. Game was really over at that point, and then Georgia's kind of messed around in the second half. I think Michigan scored a touchdown at the end to make it like a 22-point game. But I mean, it was far, far more of a blowout than the score indicated. I think Georgia could have won by 50 if they really wanted to. So that really just sets up an exciting rematch, an all SEC rematch, for the title game, Alabama versus Georgia, which I think will be a better game than the first time they played. But again, it's going to be, I mean, they're the two best teams in the country. I don't think anybody has any doubts about that. They're the two teams that should be playing for the national title. So we'll see. We'll see what happens if it's any changes. If, you know, it's hard to beat the same team twice in any sport, especially football. So we'll see what happens. But no, Michigan's underwhelming performance definitely surprised me. And now, in the past 24 hours, David Ajabo and Aiden Hutchinson both officially declared for the draft. And there are swirling rumors, nothing confirmed here or there, that Jim Harbaugh might go back to the NFL as well. So Michigan could go from a fantastic season to being really down bad next year if all of those things come to fruition.
For sure. I mean, I doubt Harbaugh's leaving. I mean, he wanted to kind of set a tradition where this kind of season was the norm. So I would be surprised if he left after finally getting to the spot once. I feel like he wants to kind of cement his legacy a little bit differently, but at the same time,
or he might know it's not going to happen again for a long time, so he's leave on top.
Right. That also could be true. That would be the one reason I would believe any rumor now. But yeah, just it's going to definitely be different. Those two, Hutchinson and Ojabo, first rounders in the NFL draft, I would guess.
One of them could be first overall.
Right. So it's just interesting how that all played out. And I just, after playing so well against Ohio State and playing very well against Iowa, they really did not play well at all. I mean, like, Georgia played well.
Georgia played fantastic in the first half, at least.
But Michigan played horrible. It was really awful. It looked like. I mean, I know that this is not the case. I would hope that this is not the case, I should say, mentally. But it kind of looked like they were complacent with being in the playoff, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Georgia kind of had that moment against the SEC title game against Alabama when they kind of got blown out and really saw their first adversity of the entire season, because everybody had been hyping up, including myself, about how amazing Georgia is and how good this Georgia defense is. And then Alabama just kind of took it to them. So I think they sort of had a mental reset where it's like, all right, we can't mess around anymore. This is the playoff. This is, you know, we just got our tails handed to us in the SEC title game. We got to really take this seriously. So I think they took it to another level than they had been all season. And I just think Michigan couldn't compete with like bodies in the trenches. I mean, you see Aiden Hutchinson and David Jabba, who have been getting this great get off the edges all year. They were just getting pancaked by these Georgia offensive linemen. And offensive line isn't even a particular strength of Georgia. It's just they're getting bodied and bodied and bodied over and over and over again. And he just couldn't compete in the trenches. And when you can't compete in the trenches, you can't compete in the back end. And that just sort of, you know, football's won there. And when you can't compete there, you're not going to be able to compete anywhere else. And, for sure. And Michigan's offense just didn't play well. Cade McNamara had a horrible game.
They didn't look in sync at all.
He threw an interception to a Georgia defender in the end zone, and there was no Michigan receiver within like 10 yards of him. It looked like it was a touchdown pass to a Georgia receiver more so than
right. It was really very strange.
Yeah. And then the Michigan wide receivers like, you know, stopped in the middle of the routes and made it easier for the DBs to get interceptions. It was just a lot of miscommunications, a lot of not really great play from Michigan, like you said. But even if Michigan was firing on all cylinders, I still think Georgia would have dominated that game.
Yeah, I mean, well, if it's all – I mean, even if Michigan was playing well, if they were getting beat on the line, then that's, you know,
you can do.
It's kind of what how things go.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the SEC brings, and everybody thinks there's a – not everybody. People think there's this SEC bias. That just proved it right there that they have
– I mean, the SEC is very top-heavy. I think Michigan could beat 80% of teams in the SEC relatively easily. When you got teams like Alabama and Georgia on the top end of it, it doesn't matter who's on the back end. You're going to have a national title winner that year.
For sure. It just seems like their non-skill players positions are faster in the SEC.
It has always
seemed that way to me.
They're bigger and they're quicker, I would say. Yeah. And that just comes from, it's sort of a vicious cycle in terms of, you know, Nick Saban, obviously a really good recruiter. But when you're that good for that long, do you really even have to recruit, or can you just show up to a kid's house with the Alabama logo on your chest and be like, hey.
Right, and be like, hey, we want you. And they're like, oh, we want you.
Oh, absolutely.
They want me? What?
That's a much harder sell for, especially because as I'm not biased in this, it's very factual evidence that football talent comes from the South and South Florida and Texas and California. Right. It's a hard sell to get a kid from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, like myself, to move up to Michigan and play football in the cold weather when you couldn't play at Alabama or Georgia or Clemson even. So that's a harder sell.
For sure.
And it's Big Ten football in general is just a very different brand of football than most college football is these days. It's very like, you know, pound it. It's getting away from that, but that's just the sort of reputation it has. So that probably hurts it too if you're not a big bodied dude.
Right.
I mean, Devonta Smith from Bama, I mean, he's a skill guy, but he was like as heavy as me. I weigh 150. He's like a tall little stick dude, but he dominates in that Alabama offense because he has speed and he can go get the ball. So that's just what it comes down to is recruiting battles. And, you know, if you get enough kids from the South to want to come to Michigan and be in the cold weather in this torrential snowstorm we're having currently, that's impressive because not a lot of kids from the South are going to want to do that.
Right. And you got to figure too, playing the Big Ten style game, like you were saying, the Big Ten champion, whoever the Big Ten champion is, has to have a great defense because that's where it's won. And Michigan proved it. Obviously they did. I mean, they didn't play as well against Georgia, but they didn't have the offense of a national champion.
No, they did not.
And you can't win if you don't have both sides of it. I mean, there's very, you know, I mean, when Michigan won the national championship in 1997, they were even more, you know, it was probably pretty similar. Their defense was like the best defense in the country. It was great. It was historically good. They had like the least amount of yards per catch allowed in NCAA history that year, and they had Woodson, and it made sense, and you know, all these guys, but the offense got it done. Like that, it was still not everything wasn't spread back then, you know. So like they did enough to get it done, and it was a clear step ahead of this because it looked, even if it wasn't working, you knew it could at any point. Whereas Michigan's offense this year and in past few years, you can tell it's out of sync right away. You know, like there's not, it doesn't have that flow, and it doesn't have that like old Big Ten pound the ball and then wait for your opening of a pass. You know what I mean? Like
Michigan's offense this year is very one dimensional. It was
right. And it was predictable. It was.
And a lot of that went back to their star wide receiver, whose name escapes me at the moment. He tore his ACL in the first game of the season. So a lot of that went back to that.
Right.
But still, you got 12 games to figure it out and to scheme up something else offensively in terms of a pass.
Right. And plus you had what, 3-4 weeks to get ready for this game.
Yeah.
That's the part of it that just makes it so difficult. I know you're out of sync, not playing every week, you know, for a couple of weeks, but you had all that time to prepare, and it just.
Yeah. And the thing is, like you say, I mean, like Michigan's defense is fantastic this year. And obviously Georgia's defense, all the CFP semifinal teams defenses are fantastic. Like all of them have legitimate guys who are going to be first round picks on that defensive end, or that defensive side of the ball, I should say, not defensive ends. But in college football in the year of our Lord 2022, now 2021 season, 2022, defense isn't the thing that's winning championships. Like you need a good defense to get there, but your offense is winning that championship. That's why Heisman Trophy winners are always offensive. You see college football games ending routinely with 40 to 50, like 45 to 50 score. Even against a good defense, you're going to need to score a ton of points to win because the offense on the other side is probably just as good. I mean,
I hate it, to be honest. I hate it.
I love it.
I hate that.
So much fun.
I hate it. And I was a wide receiver and I still hate it.
It makes everything. I mean, to me, like I love a good defensive battle and everything, but it makes it so much more entertaining when it's just back and forth and back and forth. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys, well, I'm sure Michigan State fans listening had to watch the last quarter of the Music City Bowl because it went to overtime and they delayed going to the Michigan State game for the whole first quarter. Because the Music City Bowl was so insane. It was like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I think there was another game where there was like 5 touchdowns scored in 120 seconds of game action or something like that. And it was just marvelous. It was beautiful. And I loved every second of it.
That's funny. I mean, I'm a different breed, I guess. Now, I grew up within a mile of Michigan Stadium back when it was Big Ten, the Big Ten at its best in not just, I shouldn't say its best, but in its run first, stack the line.
Yeah.
Führer of a, you know,
the Big Ten Fury. About 4 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, but it was like, that was it. Like you could dominate a game and win 13-6. Right. And so I grew up in that. So like, that's kind of the mentality I have. I'd rather see like the best Michigan game I ever saw was when they beat Purdue 5-0 in the mud. 5-0. It was great.
Like those games are fun, but the offensive, like, even I'm not a particular fan of any individual college football team except for my alma maters. Like I'll just watch a game for two teams just because the sport is so chaotic. And when you have like all this offense, that just produces insane amounts of chaos. And
I know you love the chaos. Yeah, that's definitely true. I can't argue with that. I mean, it's the same thing for me in baseball. I'd rather watch a 1-0, 2-1 game than like, you know, 8-6 or something like that. I love the pitching. There's just something about that. I'm not sure what that says about me. It makes sense that it's both of those things, I guess. But I don't, I like hitters too. So I don't really, you know what I mean? Like that's coming from an outfielder and a wide receiver. So I'm not really sure how that all lines up, I feel like it's more like me feeling like more like I'm getting old and being like more of a curmudgeon where I'm just like, back in my day, we didn't have to score 50 points to win. just interesting. Like one of the, was it Unity Christians, state finals football game, they lost to Chelsea in the final and it was like 56 or 58 to 52 overtime, which is great, or 55, 52, whatever it was, which is great. But you look at it and you go, the state championship team allowed 52 points in the final and won.
Yep.
Like it's so wild to me that's even a possibility. That's so many points to give up.
I love it.
That was a chaotic game. I did watch that. My wife went to Chelsea. So, and then obviously Unity Christian is from you know, from this side of the state, and it's part semi-local. So that was the one game that I watched.
Yeah. It sounds absolutely chaotic.
It was nuts. It was nuts. So that was probably one of the most nuts high school state championship games I've seen. Even though I was watching that one on TV, not in person, but yeah, just crazy. So, all right. So back to the football playoff. Now we've got an Alabama-Georgia rematch. Alabama put the stank on Georgia in the SEC title game.
It was not really close at all.
What do you think happens this time around?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, it's really hard for any team to beat the same team twice in any sport, but football probably more so than others. You know dang well Kirby Smart and his staff have just been analyzing that SEC title game tape, trying to get better and see what they did wrong and you know, make a point of emphasis. And I think another part of that game was just sort of Georgia knew they were in the playoff already. Like they could lose and still make the playoff. Alabama needed to win. If Alabama lost, they weren't going to make the playoff. So I think a lot of it was just sort of, you know, yes, we want to win the SEC title. Absolutely. That's a huge point of pride, especially for SEC teams, a conference title that means a lot, but you know, we still going to have a chance at a national title regardless. But now, you know, all chips are on the table. Everything's like no holds barred. It's pedal to the metal the entire game. And also, I'm going to pick Georgia to win. I think it'll be a close game, much closer than the SEC title game was. And I'm picking Georgia to win solely because I have picked them to win the national title game since this summer. And that has been my team to rock with since day one of the college football season. So I can't change it now. We're so close to home. So I'm going to pick Georgia to win. I say Georgia wins by 5 points.
All right. Good. Good,
I'll go 30, good. 35-30 would be my score.
That's good because I'm picking Alabama. I think that, you know, the big moments, Alabama just finds a way. They have this mystique. And I think that this mystique works both ways. I think people are so worried about Alabama's like mystique against them, you know, which I don't think Georgia has as bad as most teams do.
Because they see him every year.
Right. But the mystique also works for Alabama kids, having that extra boost of confidence that in every big moment they get it done. And I think that that's, you know, that's going to be enough for a close win. I definitely agree. It's not going to be anywhere near as lopsided as it was the last time. But there's just something obviously about Alabama, this New York Yankees, LA Lakers of college football, that just continues to be a step ahead of everybody. It's just the run they're on in the last 8-9 years too is just incredible. Overall, when you think about how many players come and go, how many players have left early because they're first rounders. And it just keeps, this machine just keeps on going. And I think that that's incredible. I don't like it. I don't like that it's, I mean, I don't like, a lot of people from, you know, around here hate Saban because he was at Michigan State and then he left and then, you know, he couldn't do anything like that at Michigan State and all this kind of stuff. And people don't like him because of his personality and other things and don't like Alabama for whatever. I just don't like it. I personally, in sports, I don't like it when the same team wins all the time. I mean, so it's not, I don't have anything personal against Alabama at all. You know, the better team should win, but they're the only team that has the ability for me though, is to make college football a little stale because it seems like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like we had those years where it was like, well, it's Alabama and Clemson in the final every year, you know, it's not that I dislike that per se. It's just when it gets to the same, you know, I don't care who the teams are. If it was, you know, if it was Ole Miss and Minnesota every year, I would be, you know, feel the same way. That would be awesome for a little while, but it was, you know, but like it would just, you know, so
I don't know. I think in a lot of sports, particularly pro sports, like obviously I tweeted something along these lines this weekend. In pro sports, obviously, the main goal, there's a lot of money on the line and everything and people's livelihoods at stake. The main goal is to win a championship, whether it be a Super Bowl, World Series, XYZ. But in college football, if you're a college football fan and you're the only reason you're watching college football is to, you know, hopefully see your team make the playoff or win a national title game or even a New Year's Six game, then you're just solely just watching college football entirely wrong. I mean, it is a sport that is arguably, I don't care more. I don't care a ton about who wins the national championship. Of course, I'm going to watch it because it's interesting and it's newsworthy. But right. Like, I don't care who wins that. I'm much more intrigued about who's going to win the dang Music City Bowl between Purdue and Tennessee. Like, that game was so much fun. College football has the ability to have just everything about it so much fun. The Rose Bowl, which is an iconic game. Everybody loves the Rose Bowl. I mean, that game was insane. Ohio State's receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba had like 7,000 yards that game. Right. He's their wide receiver three going into the season, but two dudes opted out and he just pops off. And then Utah, obviously the storyline they had this year with the two kids passing away and playing for them, making their first Rose Bowl. That's an incredible story. And
for sure.
You get incredible stories like that. All 130 teams in college football have a story like that. And that's why I love right. college football, because there's all so much fun and emotional and crazy stuff going on. And it just feels like, especially if you're rooting for your alma mater, it just feels like it's part of your family as opposed to rooting for some organization that doesn't know you exist.
Right. You know for sure. I mean? That's the best part about college football for sure. And I've always loved that
as a whole, but football just seems, maybe it's just cause I'm from the South and college football has been ingrained in me since I was a child, but it's something about college football. That just, it hits different than any other sport out there.
Yeah, it is for sure. And especially because that resonates everywhere. Whereas I went to Central Michigan and I felt that, you know, about Central sports, especially, I was covering Central sports for the newspaper too, as well as just watching as a fan, you know what I mean? There's a lot of layers when you're, you know, in college, but like I grew up in Ann Arbor, and University of Michigan has that for everything.
Yeah.
They have that fury and that confidence and that pride and that ego about everything. You will see at a Michigan football game, they will have 113,000 people give the gymnastics team a standing ovation for winning the Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
The next week, that same group will cheer even louder for some sort of Michigan robotics team that did something. Like, they want, and that's to me always been the difference between them and Michigan State, or them and everyone. I mean, there's a handful of places kind of like that. Ohio State's kind of like that. USC's kind of like that. Notre Dame's kind of like that. Texas used to be kind of like that. But like, Michigan wants to be the best at everything, and they put that pride into everything. Now, most schools do that for football, and that's what you're talking about, and I love that about it, and that gives that extra oomph to everything that they do, and I think that that's really awesome. And that's the best part about college football, because like growing up in Ann Arbor, going to Michigan games and going to Michigan other sports and everything like that, then going to Central Michigan, which is still a Division I program, and seeing nobody in the stands sometimes, it's really awkward. Like, it's just like, I never expected that to be the case. Like, so, but then, you know, you got some of the smaller schools, you got to get good, you know.
Yeah, it's a building process.
It's a process, you know, whatever.
You know, there's nothing quite like getting home from work on a Tuesday evening and flipping on Central Michigan versus University of Buffalo, man, and just watching the absolute chaos that's going to ensue for the next four.
Right. Well, and I love that the MAC has that going that week throughout the week deal. They did not, when I was in school, they had like.
No, that's relatively new, I think.
They had like one Thursday night game.
Yeah.
And that was when we were there, Western was ranked. So Western had a few of those games.
Yeah.
As a
former student support staff member who traveled with the team, that seems like absolute hell on earth.
A Tuesday game and all these kind of things.
To travel on a Monday and Tuesday and miss so much class. That's right. Absolutely.
It sounds awful. I mean, it really does.
Good for those kids, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, sidebar that Western team that was ranked, Central beat them. My junior or senior year, it was Central only won like two games. and one of them was spoiling their undefeated season.
They won the games that matter. That's
which was a beautiful thing.
That's the other thing about college sports, man. If you could go 0-10 or 0-11, but as long as you beat your rival, everybody's happy.
That's right. That's the only time I ever rushed the field, and I didn't really rush the field. People rushed the field. I like stepped lightly onto the field just to be a part of it, but I stood way away. You know, like it was, I was, I mean, like I wasn't covering the football team. So it's not like I ran down from the press box to that. I didn't ever want to cover football, even when I was the editor there, because that was like the one place where I could enjoy that atmosphere as a fan. And plus I was a music person. So I like sat like in the band, really, basically not in the band, but in the band.
Yeah.
And, you know, yell at all the band people and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I, you know, sat in the front row on the other side of the field, and that back when students sat there at Central, and it was just, there's just something about it. And I love that. I don't feel that way about pro sports. Well, I mean, I feel like you can kind of feel that way about baseball because college baseball is not quite the same in most places, but you can't feel that way about basketball.
No.
Or the NFL, or NFL. Even hockey. I mean, if you're really a hockey person, your college had hockey.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For the most part. I mean, like, I still have that. I mean, like, there's nothing. I mean, same thing. There's nothing like going to a Michigan hockey game and having the band have to play so loud because of all the filth that the students are hurtling at the other team.
I don't think I've ever been to a college hockey game.
Oh, man. It used to, like, Michigan was under, like, was threatening to get sanctioned and all this kind of stuff because these chants that they would do after guys got penalties or whatever. And it would just get, when I was a kid, it was like, okay, it was funny because I was a kid and like you were hearing people say stuff, you know, like they'd be like, "Hey, Bowling Green back at full strength," and everyone would yell, "They still suck." And when you're 10, that's the funniest thing in the world, you know, and stuff like that. And, but like they, you know, like when they had this chant, "We want more goals, Civ, 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 Civ at the goalie. It's all your fault. It's all your fault." And then somehow between when I was a kid and when I got to college, it became after "It's all your fault," this list of profanity.
Oh,
that went after that I didn't experience as a child.
Yeah.
But they were threatened to sanction Michigan hockey games. They were going to not let the students play. And finally, some brilliant mind at Michigan just said, "Why doesn't the band just play really, really loud then? And no one will hear." So that's pretty much what happens. Now they get away with it because the band plays so loud, you can't hear what they're saying anyway, but you can see them all, you know, pointing and doing all this stuff. It's wild. I heard it once before between when I was a kid in the band, I heard it all once and I was like stunned. Like I was like, wow, people are saying that out loud. Like I was really, you know, I was like watching parents cover their kids' ears and stuff around. It was too much. And, but you know, but that's, the swearing part aside, the atmosphere where of a student section at a hockey game is nuts because you don't have that at a Red Wings game. You don't have the entire arena start chanting "ugly goalie" when the goalie takes off his mask to take a sip of water. Yeah. Or like you don't have, there's so many layers of that you miss. You don't have that kind of stuff, you know? And so I appreciate college sports so much. And obviously football is the ringleader in all of that, but it's definitely fun for sure. And we've had seven to try to weave this back into the local here instead of the, you know, who's who and what's what of Dan's past. We had seven kids on bowl teams from the area this year. Not a ton of them played a bunch, but it was still, there's still something to that. I mean, Luke Buckman was a 4-year Michigan player. He's from Holland. I mean, like he could have gone smaller and played, you know, but he wanted to be a part of that and got his Big Ten championship ring, or will get it whenever they have those, you know, whatever. That's awesome. You know, like Adam Burkhorst plays at Michigan State. He plays a bit. He's been balancing a lot of things with baseball and obviously his dad being sick and stuff. So, he probably didn't play as much as he could have this year, but he's, you know, still an underclassman as well. At Central Michigan, we got Chase Petty from Zeeland West and Tommy Beckman from Saugatuck. At Western, we've got Boone Bonema from Zeeland East, and he played some. And Blake Bosma from West Ottawa. Is that seven?
Well, you forgot the main one.
Oh, yeah. I was getting to it. Yeah, Zach Van Valkenburg from Zeeland West. Obviously, a starter defensive end for Iowa. Had 8 tackles and 2 sacks in the bowl game. What a heartbreaking loss. So he's going to, I mean, he's going to be drafted. What did you say? I mean, we haven't had anybody in that realm. We've obviously had, we had Kirk Cousins and he was drafted in, funnily, now looking back with just, I mean, I know that he's had ups and downs and, you know, he missed this game with COVID and there's a lot of talk about whatever. He's still been an NFL starting quarterback for like 7 years and he was barely drafted. He was drafted by Washington as a, specifically as a contingency plan for RG3.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I mean, we always know this about the draft. I mean, obviously Tom Brady was a last round draft pick and other things, but like, we haven't had, we've had some Grand Valley kids drafted. Obviously Matt Judon is, you know, there. We had Keontae Marshall from Grand Valley. He was drafted. You know, you get that every now and again, but like Cousins, we were, you know, we were pretty sure he was going to get drafted or at least signed, you know, at that point. To have a non-quarterback look like a pretty sure bet to be drafted is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll go in like he won't be a first round draft pick or anything, but he'll be a mid to late round pick, I think. And if that doesn't happen, he'll certainly get signed somewhere.
Right. I mean, he played really well.
Yeah, I mean, he's played really well
the last 2 years,
all season, and all and last year as well. Like I think he's been all Big Ten 2 years.
The last 2 years, yeah.
Is he's transferred from a JUCO, so like he's only been in Iowa a couple of years.
Not two. Hillsdale's a two.
Yeah.
Not JUCO.
Oh wait. Oh.
Yeah. Division two.
He transferred from D2. Okay.
From D2. Yeah.
I assumed it was JUCO.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
but I mean, still, I mean, he's.
Still, yeah, you weren't expecting that at all, and he just kind of. In that first year at Iowa, I was like, all right, so he transferred to Iowa to play at the Big Ten. Great, whatever. Not fully getting the picture that he was playing behind a senior All-American defensive end.
Yeah, first
and
round.
And then that he was the next in line for that. Yeah. And then last year he just exploded. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, this was so
– very.
It was unexpected. Now, I don't want to say it was unexpected that he played. But I wouldn't – I don't think it's fair to expect anybody would think that he would go from Hillsdale College to not hardly playing – to then being all Big Ten. Like that is, that was quite the road. And then he backed that up again, same kind of thing, all Big Ten kind of a season. And Iowa's defense was fantastic. And he was an integral part of that. They had a good pass rush and they had a good, they kind of mirrored Michigan's defense in some things, which was kind of fun to watch, him line up as, you know, number 97 and then have Hutchinson line up as number 97 in that Big Ten title game. Like that was pretty cool to watch. Obviously he's not as good as Aiden Hutchinson, but few are. Yeah. But to think that he could be like a third, fourth, fifth round pick, you know, and at least have a shot.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. We don't get that very often, obviously. It seems like we're doing that. We are getting that in baseball like every year now. We've had like five guys drafted in the last 6 years or something like that. It seems
a bit different. I would say it's very different actually in terms of,
baseball. Well, sure. Of course. Of course. But we never had that either. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Like before this stretch, there'd only been 3-4 guys drafted in 100 years or not 100 years. Oh, wow. The draft has only been around since 1969. So there'd only been like 2-3 guys before that at all. Just really interesting that we've got that going on now. We could have multiple NFL players. We got an NHL player, Luke Witkowski's back up with the Red Wings. We got these four professional baseball players. It's,
do you have anybody in the majors?
Nobody in the majors at this point. Nobody's been in the majors since Andy Van Hecken in like 2001.
Is he related to Jack Van Hecken, I would assume?
That's his uncle.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, his dad Dan Van Hecken was a great basketball player, and it's his brother. Full of the whole team, that whole family's full of basketball players, and somehow Andy became a major league pitcher.
It worked out.
So yeah, it totally worked out. So, but yeah, so it's gonna be interesting to see. It's kind of cool to see that in a lot of different ways. We've had some, you know, in the last few years, we've had people play on like Team USA for swimming, for volleyball, track and field. Like we're getting to that elite level from the area in more than just swimming and football, which is incredible because I never expected that really. So we had somebody out traveling on the like college version of Team USA volleyball at one point a couple years ago. Like anyway, just kind of cool. Just, you know, makes me reflect a little bit on that. So on just how cool it is to work here when we've got so many things happening on so many different levels of play. So we'll talk more next week about Hope basketball, they had a couple games canceled because of COVID protocols and such this week.
Postponed, not canceled. Because the
postponed. Thank you. Exactly. Postponed. Excuse me. Yeah, it's postponed. And then they play the Hope men play at Calvin next week, so we'll have much more to talk about there. High school basketball. We're just getting back into the throes of things. Holland Christian lost a close one to Covenant Christian last night. It was a good game. Jalen Overy had a big game. Cruzy had a big game. It just you know, one of those. I think it was a 6-point game, a really, really good high scoring. It was like 70-64. I don't ever see those games. I always see like the 38-32 games for some reason. I'm not really sure why that is. Will, you were at Zeeland East versus Unity. I mean, obviously Unity is Unity Christian's very seasoned veteran kind of a team.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very, 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 very good team. Zeeland East is very just inexperienced. I'm excited to see they're playing Holland on Friday night. And I think that'll be a really good game for both teams. Not necessarily how I don't want to say Holland's inexperienced, cause they do have a lot of guys with experience, including Jackson Van Hecken. Zeeland East has a lot of seniors, but they just, you know, don't have a ton of court time or at the varsity level, just because, you know, they've had the same six guys playing on the varsity for the past 3 years and now they're all gone. So now it's just a whole, you know, reload group of guys. So when they play Holland, they'll be three games in and they've looked better and better each game. Had a tough draw against Unity last night. You know, they got beat pretty handily, but you know, Unity is going to do that to people.
Most teams do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Holland should be a good, a measuring stick kind of thing to see where this inexperienced group stacks up in terms of where the local teams. So I'm excited to watch that one.
For sure. And then the same two teams match up on the girls' side. That will be an interesting game to see where that's going on too. I mean, obviously Holland is doing better than they've done in years. Mm-hmm. They lost to Holland Christian. This will be their first game back after that. And then Zeeland East has dealt with their share of injuries and stuff this year, but they're coming off a decent showing at the Cornerstone tournament. So it'll be a kind of a good litmus test for both the girls teams too, to see how they are going into their conference season now. So
I'm excited about the Holland girls team. They're fun to watch. And they're a fun team to cover too. They have big personalities and their coach Dan is great. So I'm excited to watch them if I get out there a couple more times this season.
For sure. For sure. It
seems fun. I don't think you've covered them yet, so that you'll have a good time Friday night.
Yeah, it just seems like we're at a point with the high school teams where we don't have that great team like we had with Zeeland East last year, the boys, or like we've had with the Hamilton girls for so long.
We kind of thought Holland Christian would be not to that level. That Holland Christian would be that, but so far they're sort of, I mean, they're good. They're certainly an above average.
They're quite good. I mean, I would say they're probably the best
Holland Christian boys league. Yeah.
Boys team. I mean, right. I don't think they played West Ottawa, but that would be
Holland Christian girls might have the best girls team, surprisingly.
Oh, West Ottawa though. West Ottawa.
I haven't seen West Ottawa
play. Yeah. West Ottawa beat them. West Ottawa's got the best girls team around this year, but Holland Christian is way better than I thought, girls wise.
Boys are boys wise.
Everybody seems to be better than I thought this year, and I think just as somebody who has to cover all the teams, that's really exciting when everybody's doing better than you expected. because it just shows that, you know, improvements are being made and things are happening, and it's fun, keeps us on our toes. We obviously like seeing teams do well. I mean, you know, we're obviously objective reporters. We don't root for anybody, but we, you know, it's always a better story when the local teams do well. Yeah. And, you know, when there's players and teams that have that personality, like you're talking about, makes the stories better, makes it more fun, makes watching them more fun, and it makes, you know, the community draw better too. So,
exactly.
But we'll keep you posted on that, and we'll get into some other sports too. We've got some decent, wrestling and swimming events next week, and we will be able to talk a little bit more about that after next week too. So stay warm. I mean, we're in the middle of this big snowstorm that canceled all the school right now as of this recording, but you know, no hope games Wednesday, Thursday. If it's safe to do so, go out and watch some basketball on Friday, and we'll be back next week to discuss the weekend's events.